Someone said that orators make words take flight like golden arrows. Musicians build rhythmic palaces of melody before the eyes and the souls of men. Philosophers search the vast treasures of reality, trying to find nuggets of truth. Scientists make matter and motion their willing servants. But I must say, among all of these esteemed, accomplished achievers, none of them can do like Jesus. None of them can do me like Jesus, because he came into the world to do the world's greatest work. And the world's greatest work is to save men from sin. That's the greatest work in this world. I hear Paul saying in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I want to thank this morning Brother Wyatt for a beautiful invocation. I want to thank Brother Rutledge for an excellent leading of the hymns and your beautiful joining in with him. Thank Brother Harris for an excellent reading of the scripture. And Brother Sperling for those wonderful prayers he keeps lifting up in our behalf. Amen. Church, on last Sunday, we began a series of messages called The Seven Great Rooms of Life. And in the initial message, we talked about the emergency room. We talked about the fact that there are some people in the emergency room and don't even realize that there are some people who need to go to God's emergency room. And we talked about what God say we should do if we find ourselves in the emergency room. Now, we're going to talk about seven great rooms of life. And the second room we're going to talk about this morning is the waiting room. Can you say amen to that? The waiting room. You have your Bibles? Turn with us to James chapter 5. And I want to read in your hearing verses 7 through 11. James chapter 5. Verses 7 through 11. James 5, 7 through 11. If you have that, say amen. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and full of tender mercy. The Bible is right. The Bible is inspired. It is infallible. It is authoritative. It is a literary masterpiece. And it is the final court of appeals leaders in matters of faith, doctrine, and practice. Even though this world doesn't seem to understand it, it is a divine revelation, and it is right, and it cannot be wrong. And the Bible in this text tells us about the waiting room, the seven great rooms of life. And at some time along your journey, you may find yourself in one of these great rooms. Now, a waiting room, defined, is a place where people wait. Amen. Sometime you go to the hospital, you don't just walk right in and get service. You got to sit down and wait. Is that right? Because waiting is a part of life. Sometime in life, you don't get everything you want right away. You have to wait. I think it was Diana Ross, the Supreme, said, "You can't hurry love you." That's what I thought. Just got to wait. Is that all right? Well, what does the word wait mean? Word wait means to do nothing or to stay in one place while you are, until something happens or you expect for something to happen. Sometimes wait means to be hoping for an opportunity. For example, I'm waiting for a job interview. That is, you're hoping for that there will be a favorable possibility for you. Now, theologically, when we talk about wait, it means to be still. It means to cease. It means to be silent. And wait, as used in this text, also means to wait for a long time. It means to expect earnestly. And sometime in life, we have to wait. Now, I know we live in a hurry-up society. We live in a world where people don't want to wait. But Romans 12:2 tells us, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, I know it's not easy, church, to live in a world and not be influenced by it. But it's not impossible either. It takes a special effort to live in this world and not let this world influence. And now the Bible tells us, be not conformed. That is, don't let this world shape your mind. Don't let this world take control of and shape your thoughts. And some important question could be, what shape does my mind take? What shape do my thoughts take? That's a very important question. Amen. But God is still telling us that sometime we have to wait. You know, rapid refund has messed up a lot of folks. You don't have to wait. You can get it right now. Express lines have affected people's thinking. I want it, and I want it right now, R-A-T. Is that right? But the Bible teaches us, brothers and sisters, that there is value and benefit in waiting. And we have to understand that. Don't get so caught up in the culture of our day that we miss the lessons and the blessings that come from Scripture. And that is, sometime we have to go into the waiting room. And we have to wait. Now, I want to talk to you about two things in this letter. Number one, I want to talk about examples of people in the waiting room. Examples, that's going to be the first thought, examples of people in the waiting room. And the final thought would be, good things come to them that wait. examples of people in the waiting room, and then good things come to people that wait. One of the great lessons of life is to understand that you don't live in this world by yourself. You live in a world with other people. And one of the great important lessons of life is to understand that you don't live in this world by yourself. You live in this world with people who've got different personalities. You live in a world with people who have different belief systems. People who have different ideas and different thoughts. And so one of the most important lessons in life to learn is that you have to live in this world with different people. Is that right? And in living in this world with different people, you're going to at some time have to wait. Oh, help me here, Holy Ghost. We wait in tag lines. Oh, I wish I had some help here. And we don't like to wait in tag line. Earlier one time, man, I went up when they had the satellite. You know, them lines would sure enough be long. And I was trying to get a title or get some renewed, some kind of, man, I waited about an hour. And Lord, I finally got up to the window. She said, "Do you have all of your material?" I said, "I think I do, ma'am. I'm just glad to be here." And she said, "Sir, you don't have all you need, so you're going to have to." I was all, "Oh, don't, please don't. Please don't tell me I've been waiting since the fair wasn't in this line all this time, and you're going to make me get back in line." But sure enough, that's what I had to do. I had to go get the right documentation and come back. So I got smart, Jackie. This time I got up early that morning. And so when the place opened, I was there. I walked right in so I wouldn't have to wait. We have to wait in bank lines. Even if you go through the drive-in window, you got to wait. We have to wait in grocery lines. We have to wait in ticket lines. Sometime if you call a business and they put you on hold, they say, "Hold, please." Even then, you gotta wait until you can deal with the nature and the purpose of your call. So waiting is a part of life. But the point is, can we be benefited and blessed by our waiting? If you'll go back to James 5. Brother Wyatt, if you'll come down front. I got that Bible. I want you to do some reading for me. James 5. In order to teach us, I want to go back to James 5. In order to teach us the value of waiting, James uses three examples of waiting, Sister Johnson. He uses three examples of to teach us the benefit and the value of waiting. Amen. Because we need to be taught that we got to learn how to be patient in life. Because a lot of folks get in trouble because they don't know how to wait. Amen. We talked about in the Sunday school that perhaps what's messing up a lot of the young people, they don't know how to wait. They want a brand new car right away. My first car was a Hoopty. Hello? I paid $250, saved my money, and bought me a car, bro, because I didn't want to be walking. Is that right? My daddy told me, "Boy, I ain't buying you no car, you get your own car." Well, that was a valuable lesson. Amen. I had to work and earn my own money and buy my car. Amen. So the Bible is telling us, in order to understand the importance of waiting, in James chapter 5, he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So all of us today ought to be waiting for the Lord's return. If you're not waiting for the Lord's return, the Lord could return at any time, church. We've gotten so lax and so acclimated to life that we've forgotten about that the Bible tells us that we don't know the day nor the hour when the Lord is going to come. So it tells us to be patient and wait upon the Lord's return, and to teach us the value of waiting, James uses three examples. And the first example he uses is the farmer. The husbandman in the King James is the farmer. And because a farmer has to learn how to wait. What he does, he plants the crop. And he waits for his valuable crop to mature. He waits for the early and the latter rains to do their slow but steady work. That's a lesson for us in the spiritual arena. And his waiting is rewarded. He reaps the harvest, but you don't plant a crop one day and get the harvest the next day. In your life, there are some things you won't gonna come later in your life. Hello? I know you want it right now, but it's coming later. So the farmer. And then he says, and while you're waiting, he said, don't be complaining. Don't be lodging a complaint against a brother. Because he says, someone could bring a complaint against you that's worse than the one you're talking about. And so he said, instead of us complaining about other people, he says, work hard on yourself. For when you work hard on yourself, your life improves. Does that make sense? That while you complaining, you ought to be working on you. I know sometimes folk might frustrate and get on your last nerve. But you ought to be working hard on you. Jim Rohn said, if you work hard on yourself, if you work hard on your job, you'll make a living. If you work hard on yourself, you'll make a fortune. Now that's loaded. Work hard on yourself. Instead of complaining, he said, work hard on yourself, because it's going to take time for you to improve. You want to grow? That takes time. You want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ? It ain't going to happen overnight. It takes time. You're in the waiting room. Is that right? Anybody ever been in the waiting room? Even at Cadillac dealers, they got a waiting room. They have cookies in there, TVs in there. Make your wait nice, you know. They got television in there. They have. You want some juice, Mr. Ma? Yeah, I think I will have some juice. Making you wait, but if you take your car in for service, you got to wait. And then sometime, you know, because people know, business understand that people don't want to wait, they apologize. We're sorry about the wait. You ever heard that? But in life, waiting is a part of the process. The second example he uses in James chapter 5 was the example of the prophets. They put up with all kinds of negative things, but they never complained. They waited patiently. Maybe you have a lot of negative stuff happening in your life that you can't control. You got to be patient. You're in the waiting room. Hello? Maybe stuff is happening in your life. It's not really your fault. Hello? You know you qualify for that job. You know you qualify for that promotion, but you just didn't get it. It ain't your fault. I'm telling you, you're in the waiting room. So while in the waiting room, instead of complaining, you work hard on yourself. You work hard on yourself. And then the third example he gave was the example of Job, the heroic patience and faith of Job. Job is famous for his patience. Is that all right? But look how he turned out, because he was patient. And his latter end was better than his beginning. Why? Because even Job had to go into the waiting room. Does that make sense, church? Maybe things are happening in your life right now. You in the waiting room. You waiting for, you expecting for something to turn out. How many expecting for that big day to come? I ain't hardly hear nobody. Well, maybe your big day has already come. Maybe that's why you didn't say nothing. Maybe your day has already arrived. Huh? We sang the song this morning. My blessing on the way. My blessing's on the way. Is that all right? Now, but here's a big one. Did you know that even God Almighty goes into the waiting room? Did you know that the God who created the heavens and the earth, the omnipotent God who flung the stars way out yonder like exquisite chandeliers, the God who took a splendid coat of colors and wrapped it around the shoulders of the rainbow, Sister White, he goes into the waiting room. God has many outstanding attributes, many perfections. He is omnipotent, which means he's all powerful. He is omniscient, which means he's all knowing. He is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere present at the same time. He's good. He's merciful. His truth endures under all generations. But the quality I want you to focus on this morning is he's patient. Aren't you glad God's patient? You ever tell somebody, look, be patient with me. God ain't through with me yet. You ever done that? And I'm telling you that God himself goes into the way. Do you know God been waiting on you? How many know God been waiting on you? Can you say amen to that? And God knows if he hadn't been waiting on me, where would I be today? I'm going to have some scriptures read from that New Living Bible, Brother Wyatt. And I want three different books. Ecclesiastes 8, verses 11 and 12. I want Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And these passages will show us that even God goes into the waiting room waiting on people to get their lives together. Do you need some time? How many this morning said, Lord, give me a little more time? Huh? Do you need some time to get it together? Need some time, don't you? You're in the waiting room. Did you know that? And God is in the waiting room too. And I'm telling you that God goes into the waiting room. Now, I'm going to have these read from the New Living Bible because we want to, of all that getting, get an understanding. We want to make this as clear and concise as possible. And I'm going to have Brother Wyatt to read Ecclesiastes 8, 11, 10 and 11 first. Or 10, 11 and 12 first. What does it say, Brother Wyatt? Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. Listen to this. When a crime is not punished, that's it. Read it. When a crime is not punished, people feel it is safe to do wrong. You know, if you get away with something, it tends to do what? Make you think you can keep on getting away with it, right? That's right. Man, I've been stealing money for 15 years. I ain't got caught. Does that mean you ain't going to get caught? There was a young man who told me he decided he was going to live a life of crime. And he told me, he said, I can't get caught. And I said, boy, you a fool. I said, greater criminal than you done got caught. You just a petty criminal. Now, they caught Al Capone. and who you think you is? Read the next verse, Brother Wyatt. But even though a person sins 100 times and still lives a long time. Get this now. Even though you see some folk you know ain't doing right and like they're in the best health, you sick. And they doing all kind of stuff. Drank more whiskey than Joe Louis. Drank more Ghibli gin than the moonshiners. Y'all quiet. Y'all ain't getting no feedback on that. You think I'm in an area? Come on, read.
I know that they shall, but those that fear God.
But those that fear God.
Will be better off.
Will be better off. Now that is a word of wisdom. Verse 11 say, because God doesn't punish people right away from their sin, they think it's all right to keep on sinning. That's a green light to keep sinning. And he said, though a man sins 100 times and is in good health, I still know that a man is going to be better off if he fears God. Now, I'm just convinced that my best out is to serve God. How many of y'all feel that way? That my best path is to fear and serve God. I don't care what other folks do. I'm talking about what's best for me. I got some buddies, they ain't thinking about no church. But that's their business. I am. They don't think about praying, but I pray all the time. Because I just feel like that's better for me. Now let's go to Romans 2, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. God is in the waiting room. So when a person is sinning and God doesn't strike him down, what is God doing? He's waiting. Aren't you glad God waited on you? God has waited on all of us. You ain't always been this pretty. I know you're pretty now, but you ain't always been this pretty. Is that all right? Read, Brother Wyatt. You have Romans 2, 4, and 5. What does it say?
Don't you realize? How kind.
Tolerant.
And patient.
God is with you. He's in the waiting room. How many realize this morning how kind and patient and forbearing and tolerant God is with you?
Or don't you care?
Read.
Can't you see how kind He has been in giving you time to turn from your sin?
How many can say this morning, I see how kind God has been with me because He gave me time to turn from my sin.
Amen.
That's the waiting room. When I wasn't thinking about the Lord and thinking about the church, amen, going from club to club. Hello, lights. And we get mad when the folks put us out the club. And riding around 3 o'clock in the morning trying to find another club, just going home and sit down somewhere. some of y'all still doing that? Brother, come on, talk to me. Read that part again. But can't you see?
Can't you see?
Can't you see
how kind he
has
been?
How kind he has been?
And giving you time.
And giving you time.
To
that's
turn
the
from
way.
Your sin.
Can't. How many right now? If you died right now, you know for sure you go to heaven.
All right, preacher.
Now that get deep.
Amen.
And how many of you know right now you ought to be making a confession this morning, but you're gonna get up and walk out of here and not make one.
Help us, preacher. Talk to me, sir.
You are in.
Waiting room.
The waiting room. God is giving you time.
Amen.
Isn't he awesome? Read, Brother Wyatt.
But no.
But no.
You won't listen.
You won't listen.
So you are storing up.
So you are, even though he's in the waiting room, even though God is waiting on you, he's patient, he's loving, he's kind, he's forbearing. Waiting, giving you time. To get it together. Because some people need some time. Because if it don't, it's going to be disaster.
Amen.
Read, Brother Wyatt.
You are storing up terrible punishment.
You are storing up terrible punishment.
For yourself.
For yourself.
Because of your stubbornness.
And because God is merciful, he waits because he knows that if you stay on the path you're on, you're stirring up terrible punishment for yourself. That's coming. That's down the road. That's in your future. So because he's great and he got a magnificent heart, he's going to wait, give you time. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
He's better than me than I ever been to myself. He is better to me than I ever deserve. That is why I praise his glorious name. Because I know I ain't always done it right.
No, sir.
But yet, I'm still here.
Still here.
I looked in the paper yesterday, and the minister that was the minister of the Southwest Church of Christ on Jefferson Avenue, Delbert Blackburn, saw him in the obituary column.
What?
Yeah, Brother Wyatt, he's dead. 55 years old. Called Brother Claus. Man, did you know Brother Blackburn was dead? Had moved to Kentucky because he was sick. But the Lord is taking him away. And let me tell you something. That's going to come a weekend. You're going to be in the obituary column.
All right now.
But right now, you're in the waiting room.
Amen.
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 Let's go to 2 Peter 3, 8 to 10. You have it, preacher, you may read it.
But you must not forget.
But you must not forget.
Dear friends.
Dear friends.
That a day is like a thousand
a
years.
A day is like a thousand years.
To the Lord.
To the Lord.
And a thousand years.
And a thousand years.
Is like a day.
You see, time is not an issue with God because he's eternal.
Amen.
See, time is an issue with me because I'm finite. I only got so many years and time to get it together. I don't have forever to get my life together. Yeah. I got to get my life together in the time allotted by the everlasting God.
That's right.
And I want to thank him for that.
Amen.
Amen. I want to thank the Lord for being so good and kind to me.
Praise the Lord.
Praise his glorious name.
Yes, sir.
Read, Brother Wyatt.
The Lord isn't really being slow.
The Lord, and see, some people think God is just slow. No, he ain't being slow. He is just long-suffering. He's in the waiting room. Come on.
About his promise to
return. About his promise to return.
As some people think.
If Christ came back today, a lot of people wouldn't be ready. Some would be running to the rocks saying, rocks fall on us.
Yeah.
I remember when I was living in sin, you know, the Lord was dealing with me. The Lord was giving me nightmares.
All right, preacher.
I remember one day we was in the car getting high. Look at y'all looking at me.
Yeah, preacher.
That's what we were doing.
I hear you now.
Getting our head bad.
Yeah.
And I'm in a dream now, Wynn. I'm in a dream, and then I heard a loud explosion, and I knew in the dream it was the end of the world. Claudia, I jumps out the car in the dream. I started running. That's what criminals do. They start to running when they see the police coming. Yes, the Lord was coming, and I was running, but yet I was running, but I knew I couldn't get away.
Amen.
And I was so glad that it was just a dream. I woke up and I said, shh.
Amen.
The Lord was warning me.
Yes, sir.
Then I had another dream. He wasn't through with me yet. I still didn't move. So Smith, I was still in the waiting room. I still didn't change. And then I had another nightmare, Tina. This time, my dream and the whole sky was on fire.
My Lord.
And I heard that old evil witch just laughing.
All right, preacher.
You, that wicked witch, by the way, I should be laughing at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard her just laughing, Sister Dancer. And grown man holler, Mama! Because I knew I wasn't ready.
All right, preacher.
I wasn't ready. But yet God was so good. He stayed in the waiting room waiting on me until I got it together. And some of you can say the same thing.
Amen.
I wasn't ready. He knew I wasn't ready. So he was in the waiting room.
Yes, sir.
Waiting on me. He's still waiting, calling, reaching, pleading. Read on, Bro Wyatt.
No. He's being patient for your sake.
He being patient for your sake.
He does not want any to perish.
He doesn't want any to perish.
So he is giving you more time.
So he is giving you more time.
For everyone to repent.
For everyone to repent. That's what it's about. People leave the church and they go away. The Lord sees it. He sees everything.
Amen.
But what does he do in his mercy? He waits. We praise him for it. We praise him for it. Amen. Read, Brother Wyatt. You ain't turning away at you, preacher. You thought I was through, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought you did.
You got to get back over there. I'm just about through, but come on. Over there. That was verse 9, right? That was 10. Okay, what next verse say?
Since everything around us.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was right, but go.
But the day of the Lord.
That's it. The day of the Lord.
Will come. As unexpectedly as a thief.
Oh, as a thief. That when Christ comes back, he is going to come. Like a thief in the night. And that means unexpectedly. That's why he's waiting to help people to get it together. Finish that verse and we're going to conclude.
Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise.
The heavens are going to pass away with a terrible noise.
And everything in them will disappear in fire.
And God's going to burn up this earth.
And the earth and everything on it will be exposed to judgment.
And so God is going to destroy this earth. But before he does it, he's waiting on us. Thank God for the waiting room.
Amen.
And finally, I told you that good things come to them that wait. Let me give you some examples. Do we have any evidence? Do you believe that good things come to those who wait? Do we have any biblical evidence to support that view that good things come to them that wait? I think we do. I want to give you three examples of it as we conclude. I want to give you three examples of Brother Harris read so beautifully about a man by the name of Simeon. He was just and devout, and he was in the waiting room. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel because God had told him he wouldn't die until he had seen the Christ. And one day, blessed be the name of the Lord, he keeps his word. You can count on the Lord. Amen. His parents brought in the baby as it was according to the custom. And when Simeon saw that baby, Jesus, he took him up in his arms. And he said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He knew that in that child, Jesus, was the hope of the Spirit, and said, it's the hope of the world. And Christ is the hope of this world. He's my hope. He's my only hope. And just like that baby blessed Simeon, that baby blesses me. Amen. And he said, I can die now in peace, Lord, because I've seen your salvation. Good things come to them that wait. Abraham was a man who's called the father of the faith, but he had exemplary faith. And good things came to him. God made some great promises to Abraham, but he didn't get the fulfillment of those promises right away. It took a while before he got the promises. But he waited. He waited. How many of you waiting on the Lord? Do you believe he's going to? I know it may be tough. You may don't see how it's going to turn out. But I'm telling you, wait on him. That's what I'm doing. Wait on him. And then finally, Christians are in the waiting room. Every Christian, every faithful child of God, I'm waiting for the Lord's return. How many can say I'm waiting for his return? I'm waiting for the Lord to come back. I'm waiting for his return. I'm in the waiting room. And that's why Romans 2:7 says, for those who seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. Glory, honor, immortality. That's what I'm waiting for. How many are waiting for glory, honor, immortality? What? Are you waiting for that? And he said, you wait for it by patient continuance in well doing. I'm waiting for my crown of life. Can you say amen to that? I'm waiting to be crowned by the Lord. Didn't Paul say that I fought a good fight? I've kept the faith. I finished my course. And then he said, there's a crown of life that's laid up for me. Paul said, I've been waiting a long time. And now the Lord getting ready to crown me, Sister Johnson. Oh, yes, in the waiting room. Jesus said in Luke 21:19, in your patience, you possess your soul. In other words, your patience is what's going to help you to save your soul. You got to be patient. You got to stay in the waiting room until you get your positive outcome. Is that all right? Brother White, in the waiting room, there's patience. In the waiting room, there is insight. In the waiting room, there is mental clarity. Is that all right? I'll tell you, I hear the psalmist saying, I will wait on the Lord, for he is my salvation. I will wait on the Lord, for he is my rock, and he is my strength. And he is my defense, and I shall not be moved. Is that all right? Oh, I'm going to wait. Oh, my God. It's something about waiting. Is that all right? Well, when I think about waiting, Brother Wyatt, I go to the Gospel of John. That was a pool of Bethesda. They had five porches. And in those porches were all kind of sick, both impotent, halt, withered, and they were waiting for the moving of the water, because every year God would send out an angel that would stir the water. Is that all right? And the first person that got in that water was healed from his affliction. Is that all right? Well, that was a man, Sister Johnson, who had been around there for 38 years. He was in the waiting room for 38 years. Is that all right? And the Son of God came by and said, will you be made whole? Is that all right? He said, I don't have nobody to put me in the pool. And he said, take up your bed and walk, I tell you, good things come to them that wait. Is that all right? Then I'm reminded of a woman with an issue of blood. She had been sick for 12 long years. Is that all right? From the time of her inception of her illness until her breakthrough and her healing were 12 long years. I tell you, she was in the waiting room. Is that all right? Then one day she had a glorious thought. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Is that all right? So she reached out and she touched his garment and she was healed. She had been in the waiting room. Is that all right? But she was healed. Is that all right? And one day when Jesus Christ got up from the grave with the keys of death and hell swinging round his waist, is that all right? He stood on resurrection ground and told the disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He said, go to the waiting room. Is that all right? And on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Is that all right? And that sat upon each of them cloven tongue like as a fire. They were in the waiting room. Is that all right? And also it said we're waiting for the second coming of Christ, and we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And then Isaiah said, hast thou not known? Oh, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utter their fall. But they that wait, oh, y'all don't hear that. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, mount up with wing like eagle, run, not be weary, walk, won't faint. Is that all right? I believe, Brother Spillin, I'm going to run on to see what the end going to be. Is that all right? I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Nobody told me, Sister Smith, the road was going to be easy. But I don't believe. I'm in the waiting room, y'all. But I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Don't you thank God for the waiting room? But I'm also glad that one day they call your name in the waiting room. So, Mr. West, the doctor will see you now. You done waited long enough, Wes. Come on in and see the doctor. Stand on your feet. That's the message. That's the message. Amen. Next Sunday, the Lord bless, we're going to talk about the dressing room. Is that all right? The dressing room. Is there anyone here today? Say, Lord, I want to thank you for being so good to me. I want to thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. Amen. Because I know we like quick fixes, but some stuff can't be fixed quick. It's going to take some time. Hello? Might have a relationship, can't be fixed quick. Hello? Going to take some time. Amen. But in the waiting room, make sure you're doing the right thing. You're working hard on yourself. Wow. You're in the waiting room. Now, if you're not saved this morning, God is waiting on you. He's saying, come on to me, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess Christ, be baptized. If you are a child of God and you strayed away, God is saying, he's such a great God. Come on home. I've been waiting on you. Oh, ain't that good news? When God, you know, when God sees you coming, guess what he does? He runs out to meet you. Ain't that wonderful? They have a God like that. You've been out there, you know, doing your thing, and he said, there come my son. There come my daughter. come on home where I can receive you. Hey, man, aren't you glad God is patient with you? Aren't you glad he ain't through with you yet? Aren't you glad for the waiting room? I know I am. And I'm still glad he's still working on me. Amen, because he ain't through with me. Are you here today? Do you need to respond? Do so right now as we sing. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth dost thou call? Oh, do I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, say. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that